Rick Colgates, the Chief Information Officer at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and the Chairman of the American Council for Technology, but not for too much longer. You're almost done with, I mean, you did a double shift.
That's right, yeah. Only 45 more days. not counting, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Congratulations on the tenure, and it's a terrific organization, and thanks for your service to it. What do you think's different about the discussion in our community more broadly between when you started 2 years ago and now as you're getting ready to exit as the chair?
Well, I think for one thing, we got past sequestration, which as I took over the organization, it was in 2013, and we were faced with a government shutdown, mm-hmm. sequestration, a lot of stress and discomfort on both parts of the relationship between government and industry, and it caused a pause in the conversation. It caused us to think about even potentially canceling ELC at the time because the government just came back to work just in advance of ELC.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very disruptive influence to the whole dialogue at all because it gave us another topic of conversation that was not strategic, it was not engaging, it was not something that we have a daily interest in, it was just a big distraction. So that's the fundamental change that's happened in the last 2 years is we've gotten beyond that and we've been able to focus more on the substantive issues that face us as a community. We've been able to work together on the problems in terms of supporting the administration's initiative in terms of how to move us forward. And you know, the other interesting thing that happened around that same time was healthcare.gov,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so that spawned a whole new generation of different ways of thinking about delivering IT, approaching the talent workforce to support technology-related projects and initiatives. The creation of digital services, GSA 18F, and so that's given us a whole new agenda for conversations with the government and problems to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also transformed a lot of the conversation we've been involved in. And then the other thing I alluded to last night is that our approach to conferences has changed substantially. So ELC that year, after all the drama around funding and government shutdowns and all that sort of thing, was a fairly traditional ELC.
Mm-hmm.
And in spring of 2014, we gave the chairs of MOC the latitude to approach a conference differently, to think about how to make it more engaging, more interactive, more outcome-oriented, a more compelling event for people to attend. And they really set the stage for continued evolution of our approach to conferences, which is really, I think, one, continued our relevance to the community in terms of giving them some place to come to discuss issues of importance. And it's also reinforced our value that we add to the administration in terms of getting them substantive feedback, a forum for engagement, non-partisan, non-biased, objective forum to have those conversations. And certainly we saw that in last year's ELC and acquisition excellence. And now with this MOC, we're continuing to evolve the nature of conferences.
Mm-hmm. How has that concept of digital services as a thing, and I'm using air quotes mm-hmm. as I say the word thing, influenced the conversation in the community? I know industry's a little uneasy right now mm-hmm. because they're trying to figure out how it impacts what they're trying to do to serve agencies. A lot of folks say, wait a minute, they're doing what we're in the business of doing, but I don't see the agency seeing it that way. How has that changed or influenced the way that people talk about this stuff, do you think?
Well, we've had influence both ways. So we were, I think, able to influence the notion of digital services with the 7S for Success framework that we published about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
or maybe, a while ago, with the notion of how do you approach a project differently to ensure its success. And you saw a lot of the same tenets incorporated in the digital services playbook that mm-hmm. OMB issued. So we had a chance to influence their thinking about digital services, approaches to projects. And, you know, they, as I said, undertook the digital services initiative to address the change in philosophy and talent that we use on projects. And you're right. It caused a lot of concern both on the industry side and the government side of the uncertainty about what the digital services were going to do to us or for us.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was from OMB and the initial impression was it was OMB oversight of agencies, which caused a lot of consternation. And as we worked through that and we saw more in real life what they were intending by digital services, we got a lot more comfortable with it. And certainly by incorporating the hiring authority for agencies in the FY16 president's budget, that made us much more comfortable because then we'd have complete control over those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
There were still some things to work through in terms of the guidance that OMB gave to us about where those digital services individuals should work in the organizations. And the intent was to place them more closely to the deputy secretary level to make them, you know, almost outside of the influence and control of a CIO, which made CIOs somewhat uncomfortable. But, you know, we've negotiated some latitude in how we hire and place those individuals. And now we're very excited about the digital services initiative. You've seen VA go off and create their own digital services capability, and I think all the other agencies are aggressively looking forward to having the flexibility to bring on digital services folks in 16.
I'm surprised that we haven't seen much discussion yet. Maybe we will. Of digital services as a shared service, where somebody's doing it one place, or maybe doing it, in the example of your agency, doing it at Joe Klimovich's level, agency-wide, and offering those services to you and your colleagues at the bureaus, or some model like that.
Yeah, in some ways, that's why Joe's actually approaching it in DOJ, where he's got the authority to hire digital services people, but he's looking to make them available to components. Mm-hmm. So essentially having him being a conduit to hire the right talent to address projects throughout the department. And I'd look at, frankly, at digital services themselves, and particularly as embodied in 18F, as effectively a shared service across the federal government, where they're looking to reuse capabilities and solutions they've already developed across agencies. The e-regulations platform is a great example. They developed that for CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Now they're, I think, deploying it for FTC. They're mm-hmm. looking to make it available to all the regulatory agencies, so they're able to reuse the solution over and over again, as opposed to having each of us have to invent it on our own.
So that's a difference that I see in just the broader discussion in the community between the time that you started as president of ACT 2 years ago and today, is a lot more openness and a lot more willingness to consider those solutions. Somebody else is using this and it's close enough for my purposes, so I'm going to just take that rather than I have to create it myself because we're a unique snowflake and different than everybody else. I mean, you know how prevalent that thinking was just 2 years ago. What do you think's driven that? Is it some of the things we've talked about, sequester, budget pressures, close scrutiny from Congress, or is it, in your view, growing up more organically from the agencies, where people are saying, this really is a good idea and I'm going to buy into this because I think it's smart, not because I think somebody's telling me I have to do it?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the two factors you mentioned, of just sort of the organic recognition that it's easier, the pressures we have organizationally to maximize use of our resources. So if we see a similar solution or an analogous solution that's already out there, we're much more inclined to look to adopt that as opposed to start from scratch and invent it on our own. And then the other area I'd say that contributes to the move toward shared services, OMB's focus on shared services. Now, they focus primarily on financial management and other specific functional areas where they've put an emphasis on shared services. But, you know, we at ACT IAC have had a number of forums over the years about shared services. We're looking to do another one this year to provide, you know, a forum to discuss what's inhibiting us from adopting shared services across the federal government. In some cases where they're fairly robust and intrusive shared services in terms of potentially being disruptive to business processes, and I'd include financial management in that area, there are a lot of impediments. So, while people intuitively understand the long-term benefits of a shared services model, getting over the hurdles of adopting shared services are not trivial. So having agencies be able to talk through those challenges, depress the barriers to adoption, is something that we've contributed to over the last couple of years. And I'd like to think that's helped with the gradual adoption of shared services.
So there's one other factor to the willingness to adopt shared services that I think is important for you and your colleagues in the CIO community. And that is a broader understanding of the idea that it frees you up to do the conceptual and strategic thinking that the rest of your colleagues in the C-suite are now depending on you for, that maybe 2 years ago they weren't, and they were thinking of you as the tech guy.
Right.
And now
the help
you're
desk operators, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And now you're their peer, you're their equal at the strategic discussion table.
Yeah, and certainly freeing up the time to devote to the more strategic issues is an important part of shared services or enterprise services or whatever you want to call it. So in DOJ, we're looking to move more toward those kinds of services too, like email as a service. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to move toward more commonality in the commodity services, just to, one, drive them to as much commonality as possible, drive them to a greater level of cost efficiency as we can, and to free our attention to devote to more strategic issues, as opposed to, as you said, being, you know, the guy that has to answer the help desk calls or to fix the email when it goes down, and all the tactical responses every day.
That's all I've got for you, Rick. I really appreciate your time. Congratulations on a terrific tenure as the president of ACT, and I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a great 2 years. I appreciate it.